topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do. Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Tonight, we're going to talk about the names of the Almighty and related issues. My name is James Robertson. I'm going on 65. I am a civil engineer by training. I have a doctorate in civil engineering. I've practiced for many years as a management consultant, and today I'm the chief operating officer of a small group of companies in the United Kingdom. In 1993, contemplating suicide, the Almighty spoke to me audibly, as clearly as you can hear me now, and told me to phone a friend who had something that I needed. I phoned that friend and he led me back to the Almighty and into a place where I understood that it was possible to have a deep relationship with the Almighty. Since 1993, I've been seeking such a deep relationship and eventually found it. And now my mission is to teach others how to draw close to the Almighty. So I hope in this series to show you how to get close to the Almighty, to answer some questions, to share some little known knowledge and help you to step up. What is End Time Issue Ministries? Well, when I was given the name, I didn't really know much about the end times. But the fact is, we are in the end times. We're in the last 1,000 years after the creation of Adam, just over 6,000 years ago. Various things changed at the beginning of the millennium in 2003, and will continue to be that way until the end of the millennium in 3003. During that time, the way we interact with the spirit realm has changed dramatically. The way we interact with the Almighty and the way He interacts with us has changed dramatically. You may or may not, if you're a believer, have noticed that change over the last decade and a half. But if you've not, the change has happened. End Time Issue Ministries is dedicated to writing about the end times, helping people to understand the end times, helping people to survive and thrive in the end times. So what is this program? The short title is Creator Desires Relationship. The full title is The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You. As I said a moment ago, in the next few minutes, I hope to share with you some knowledge that will help you to chart your course in terms of becoming closer to the Almighty. Some questions from last week's program. Somebody asked if it was a new program, and yes, indeed it is. Last Friday was the first time it was broadcast. What's the show about? Well, I think I've just answered that. It's about showing people how to draw close to the Almighty. Is this the first of the show? Yes, indeed. Is this a religious lesson, a religion lesson show? Well, yes, it is, in the sense that way people use the word religion, and no, it's not in the sense that I don't identify with any specific religion. What are your beliefs? I believe in the Almighty Creator. I believe that there was a man called Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, or Jesus Christ, the anointed of God, if you are more accustomed to the old words, that he died in order to provide a way for us to get closer to the Almighty. I believe that the three main religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, are all related and different facets of belief in the Almighty. I believe that every human being on this planet has the opportunity to come to a deep personal relationship with the Almighty. What religion belief is this based on? Well, it comes out of originally Christianity, then a fairly deep exposure to Judaism, and subsequently an exposure to Islam. And since that, more recently, exposure to a few other religions as well. Somebody asked, is that why people die at a young age? They didn't find a friend in the Creator? No, completely unrelated. Becoming a friend of the Creator is a lifelong journey. It requires a huge amount of effort. It requires sacrifice. It requires determination. And very, very few people on earth today are friends of the Almighty. So people who die at a young age are very unlikely to be friends, and most of them die as unbelievers. There's a whole satanic battle taking place on the earth. I spoke about it in the first program, so you might want to get hold of that recording. It will be available online in the next couple of days, or you can email me at the email address at the end of the program, and I'll send you a transcript of the program or a link to the recording. People die at a young age because this is an evil generation. It's corrupt. The satanic realm is dominating and ruling on earth, and they seek to kill, steal, and destroy. And so that's what's happening. What if you ask for forgiveness but do the same act again? If you repent each time you sin sincerely, confess your sin, repent of your sin, and do everything you can to turn from that sin, you will be forgiven if you do it again, if you're sincerely trying not to do it. If you just in a cavalier fashion say, oh God, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, and just carry on doing it, then eventually there will be no further forgiveness. So let's talk a bit about the real name of the Almighty. So I'm going to talk about a word, Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H, and a word, Yahweh, Y-A-H-O-O-E-H, both of which are different transliterations of the same Hebrew word or Hebrew phrase, which means Yah, the eternally self-existing. This word, Yahweh, in most English translations has the phrase the Lord, Lord in capital letters, in the Bible, and this occurs about 6,519 times. The Lord is not an accurate translation of Yahweh. One of the things that I've experienced as I've traveled the world and spoken on platforms at conferences is that it doesn't matter what the language is of the place where I'm speaking, they introduce me as Dr. James Robertson. There is no suggestion that they would transliterate or translate or convert or something my name. And so it is with the Almighty, or so it should be with the Almighty. The name that he has given himself is Yah, the eternally self-existing, and that is rendered in the Hebrew as this four-letter phrase, YHWH, Yahweh or Yahweh is a better transliteration. There is no substitute for that. You can't say that his name is God or the Lord or whatever. His name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, or Yahweh if you must, or Yahweh if you must. The correct translation of the pagan demonic deity called Baal is the Lord. So here we find a major error the name Baal in the Bible is not translated. And if we were going to apply the same rules that are applied by the translators to Yahweh, then we would translate Baal as the Lord, except that the translation of Baal as the Lord would be accurate. So the translators were faced with a dilemma. They wanted to follow a Jewish tradition of not using the name of the Almighty, the true name of the Almighty. So they adopted the Jewish tradition of substituting the Lord for the name of the Almighty. And in so doing, they created confusion because now they didn't have anything to translate Baal to. So they left Baal with his correct name and corrupted the name of the Almighty. As you come to understand this, and you come to understand the truths of the names, you will understand what a major problem this is. If we look at the third commandment, the third commandment says, "Thou shalt not take the name of God your Lord in vain," which is an inaccurate translation. It should be, "Thou shalt not take the name of Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, in vain." How do you not take the name of the Almighty in vain if you do not know his true name? If you are using a Bible which says you shall not take the name of God your Lord in vain, then you're going to be careful about the way you use the word God, and you might be careful about the way you use the word or the phrase your Lord or Lord. You wouldn't know about Yah. And so we have a situation where Yahoo.com, a major internet service provider, search engine, email provider, etc., uses a name which is a corruption of Yahweh, the true short form of the Almighty's name. And therefore, Yahoo.com is a blasphemous name which breaks the third commandment. And if you have a Yahoo.com email address and you're trying to get close to the Almighty, I would suggest you move away from that. Go to one of the other service providers. If you're a German or a South African Afrikaans speaker, you will use Yah or Yahwol for yes. The true name of the Almighty is Yah. It cannot be substituted, cannot be used in a different form in different languages, and therefore, if you say Yah for yes, or in any other shape or form use the word Yah, or a word that sounds like Yah, or is spelt more or less like Yah, you're breaking the third commandment. Many of the words that I will discuss after this lead people into situations where they break this commandment. So we find ourselves faced with the Lord being Baal versus Yahweh or Yahweh. And you might say, does it matter? And I have to tell you, yes, absolutely, it does matter. How do you become friends with someone if you do not know their true name? My name is James, and I have insisted throughout my life that people call me James. I've had one or two very close friends who've got away with calling me Jim, but generally speaking, I resist being called Jim. I don't really regard it as a compliment, and I'd really rather people didn't call me Jim because it's not my name. And if I'm a bit picky about how people refer to me, how much more should the Almighty Creator have a right that we should use his correct name? And then again, how do you become friends with someone if you insist on calling them by the name of their worst enemy? So we've seen that the Lord is an accurate translation of Baal. So we're actually saying to the Almighty Baal when you call him Lord. Not because you're using the true word for Lord, which is Adonai, but because you're referring to the Lord as per the Bible, which is actually a blasphemous name. Now, you may say to me, well, I got close to the Almighty back in the 60s or the 70s or the 80s or the 90s or the 2000s, and I only knew those names. Yes, indeed, there was grace back in those days. But as I said earlier, the spiritual dispensation changed in 2003. The grace was progressively withdrawn between the beginning of 2001 and 2003. How do I know that? Because I was filled with the Spirit of the Almighty and proclaimed that withdrawal over this planet. In 2003, I presided over a court session of the Court of Heaven in which Satan was condemned and sent to the pit for 1,000 years. And at that time, the dispensation changed completely. Another word that is relevant to this discussion is Adonai or Adonai, meaning Lord in the righteous sense. So the correct word to translate as Lord from the Hebrew would be Adonai. And yes, Yah is an Adonai. He is a Lord in the true sense of Lord. Yeshua, the one you probably know as Jesus, is also an Adonai. We see that the Old Testament uses the Lord as a wrong translation of Yahweh or Yahweh. And we see that the New Testament refers to Yeshua, not Jesus, as Lord, as an approximate translation of Adonai. And so we have a situation where a casual reader of the Bible, and in fact even quite sincere readers of the Bible, in fact just about everybody, reads the Bible, and in the Old Testament they read about the Lord, and in the New Testament they read about Lord. And in the Old Testament the Lord refers to the Almighty, as we've seen previously. And in the New Testament the word Lord is applied to Yeshua, Jesus. And people make the wrong association that the Lord of the Old Testament is the Lord of the New Testament, that Jesus is therefore Lord, and by extension, Yeshua is the Almighty. It's a completely wrong association, it's a completely wrong interpretation, and has given rise to huge error. The next word that is corrupt is the word God. The Hebrew word for this translates or transliterates as Elohim, the Almighty, translates as Elohim, which in turn can be rendered with reference to the Almighty as the Almighty, or Mighty One, or Mighty One in the sense of a Mighty One. So the President of the United States is a Mighty One. He's not a God or anything like it, but if you translate the Hebrew word Elohim, meaning Mighty One, to God, then the President of the United States is a God. Completely wrong, completely misinterpreted. The word God is actually a meaningless pagan word. It's satanic. It should never be used in the context of the Almighty Creator. The correct word is Elohim. And the correct translation of Elohim is Mighty One, or in the context of the Almighty, the Almighty. So where you read God in the context of the Almighty, you should substitute that for Almighty. And so when we read that Elohim created the heavens and the earth, it's not God created the heavens and the earth, it's the Almighty created heavens and the earth. And it's also so that Yeshua, the one you may call Jesus, is a Mighty One. So technically, Yeshua is a God. But he is not the God. He's not the Almighty. It's really important to understand this, and really important to stop using the word God in any sort of context. Another word that's significant in terms of referring to the Almighty is El, which is a contraction of Elohim, also Eli. Eli, El, as in Israel, as in Eliah, Elijah, is a contraction of Elohim, and simplistically it means the same thing. It's also frequently translated God in the Bible, and for the same reason, it's not an accurate translation. It's actually a form of affectionate use of Elohim, which effectively means my beloved Mighty One, or my beloved Almighty. So then we see that when Yeshua, Jesus, cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, as he died on the stake, not a cross, he was actually saying, my beloved, why have you forsaken me? Huge difference between saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And saying, my beloved, why have you forsaken me? And so we see just a hint there of the depth of the relationship that Yeshua had with his Father in heaven. Folks, it's so important to get these names right and to get these adjustments made in the way you think about the Almighty and the things of the Almighty, and the way you talk about them, the way you write about them, the way you live your lives. You can go hugely astray, and pretty much the whole of Christianity, certainly, and to a lesser extent Judaism and Islam, have gone hugely astray because of the incorrect usage of these words and the lack of failure to use the true name of the Almighty, Yah, the eternally self-existing. And I hope that at the very least out of this program, if you get nothing else out of this program, you will start to refer to the Almighty as Yah, the eternally self-existing, or Yah in its simplest form. Continuing the same point, Allah is derived from Allah, which in the Allah in the Arabic is derived from Allah in the Aramaic, which is derived from Elohim in the Hebrew, all of which means the Almighty, as we've just seen. So we find a lot of confusion with regard to Allah. You'll find a lot of Christians who will speak ill of Allah. Some associate Allah with Satan because they judge people of Arabic, Islamic association in all sorts of wrong ways. Found on the internet just before I presented this program a comment that Arabic speakers of all Abrahamic faiths, including Christians and Jews, use the word Allah to mean God. My comment to that, in other words, Yahweh, Yah the eternally self-existing. And so we get again this huge confusion through the use of wrong words. But everyone translating Allah to God, which is a meaningless pagan term, we totally lose sight of who we're talking about, and we allow people to be insulting and dismissive of things that are actually very important. Then we find that the use of an understanding of Allah is seriously corrupt because it's being used by huge numbers of people who have no shred of experience of the Almighty. They have no shred of relationship with the Almighty. They have no shred of understanding of what they read. They hold up the Quran and put it on the same level of the Bible, which is absolutely fair enough, because the Quran is accurate, is actually a more accurate text than the Bible. And there's not a lot in the Quran that is not in the Bible, and vice versa. But because of the corruption that I've just spoken about, people just dismiss Islam, or Christian people dismiss Islam, and the Islamic people, although they understand Christianity better than the Christians understand Islam, at some level dismiss Christianity as a pagan religion, which it actually also is, because none of them are actually worshipping the Almighty Creator. And I made the point in the first program that I've been down a journey of moving from being a highly committed Christian with deep and dramatic experiences of the Almighty to one who now regards himself only as a believer in the Almighty Creator. I strenuously avoid applying any categorization label to myself. I'm no longer regard myself as Christian. And at another level, I see myself as being both Jewish and Muslim, in the true sense of what those words mean in the context of what those religions originally meant. The thing to remember is that the satanic forces and the demonic forces have been seeking to corrupt all form of relationship with the Almighty, because that is their goal. If they can ensure that by the end of the seventh millennium, in 3003, there is not a single believer in right standing with the Almighty, then the forces of Satan will win the contest. And Yah will withdraw from the earth with his people, and Satan will rule on earth forever. Not a pleasant sight. Not as attractive for those who don't believe as it might first sound, but that's a different discussion, and I did touch on it in the last program. So we see here that again, the failure to use the true name Yah, the eternally self-existing, leads to huge misunderstandings. Another word that is wrongly used, Christ, from the Greek Christo, Christoon, Christos, which means anointed, which refers to the Spirit of the Almighty on a man or woman. So when you read the word Christ in a New Testament Bible, it refers to anointed with the Spirit of the Almighty. It also, depending on usage, refers to an anointed one. So if you find the word Christ without any other name associated with it, it refers to an anointed one. So Yeshua was an anointed one. I am also an anointed one, because I'm also filled with the Spirit of the Almighty. And if you are filled with the Spirit of the Almighty, then you too are an anointed one. So we are all Christ's. So if somebody wrote something about something that one of us did and said the anointed one, meaning James, or the anointed one, meaning you if you're a spiritual believer, and that was translated into another language, they might translate that as Christ. And so I would suddenly become a Christ. And technically I am a Christ, because that's what the word means, filled with the Spirit of the Almighty. So then you find usage as the anointing that was upon Yeshua or Jesus, which is Christ Jesus. Just as well could be the anointing that was upon James, the anointing that was upon Anne, the anointing that was upon whoever. Then we get anointed with the Spirit of the Almighty, being Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the anointed of Yah. In the same way, we could have James Christ, as I've just said. In old language terms, an anointed one is a saint, somebody who's filled with the Spirit of the Almighty. The important thing to realize is Christ is not a pseudonym for Yeshua. Using Christ to refer to Yeshua is completely mistaken, and it results in people mistaking the Spirit of the Almighty for Yeshua the man, Jesus the man. So the whole structure of Christianity as the worship of Jesus is fundamentally wrong. Christianity should be the worship of the Almighty. And Christianity should correctly means worship of the Spirit of the Almighty by those filled with the Spirit of the Almighty. And if we understood that, then we would understand that virtually nobody who calls himself Christian is in fact a true believer. I made the point earlier that the name of the man commonly known as Jesus is not Jesus, it's Yahushua. That word, Yahushua, means Yah is salvation. And as I said earlier, it's frequently translated Joshua, which is not an accurate translation. It misses the point because it drops the name Yah. It's important to understand that Yeshua was a common name at the time that the man Yeshua, Jesus, lived a bit over 2,000 years ago. And it spoke to the role he was to play. So there was a prophetic assignment when his mother Miriam, not Mary, was told to name him Yeshua, not Jesus. And I understand that if you've been using the word Jesus and you've had some experiences, supernatural experiences, and maybe had a healing, all in the name of Jesus, you're going to battle with what I'm saying. The key thing to understand is that back in 3003, when Satan was cast into the pit for 1,000 years, the whole spiritual dispensation changed, and in order to secure a conviction of Satan, all the lies that he had propagated into the lives of believers, such as Jesus is God, had to be declared out of bounds, off limits, forbidden. And so today, if you want to have a close relationship with the Almighty, you have to get the names right. You cannot have a deep personal relationship with Almighty, the Almighty Creator, Yah, the eternally self-existing, if you call him God or the Lord, if you call Jesus, if you call Yahushua Jesus, etc. Further than that, Jesus is a pagan or satanic name, which means blessed of Zeus. Zeus is the name of a powerful Greek demonic power and was originally a pseudonym for the Almighty, but it was corrupted over time. Zeus was adopted by Greek believers because of persecution, making out that they were worshipping Zeus and not the Mighty One of the Hebrews. And this is a key thing with regard to all these wrong names that I've been talking about. They came into use in response to persecution. They came into use in response to demonic leading. They came into use because people didn't like getting beaten up for their faith. And they didn't realize that the only way to stop getting beaten up truly was to draw close enough to the Almighty and draw close enough into his truths that the demonic forces could not any longer get judgments against them. And I spoke in some detail about judgments in the last message, so you might want to check that if you missed that talk. It's really important to understand this. The only way to get close to the Almighty is to press in to all truth and no sin. He's provided the means to do that through the sacrifice, the offering of Yeshua. It's available to every one of us. All you need to do is believe in the Almighty, ask him to fill you with his Spirit, get a revelation of the power of the sacrifice of Yeshua, and start to walk in that. And I will tell you at the end of this program about a number of documents that you can download off my website, which will tell you how to do that. We also need to talk about the set-apart spirit versus the Holy Spirit, and holy is another meaningless religious name. So we're accustomed to referring to the Holy Spirit. Holy, correctly translated, that's holy, H-O-L-Y, correctly translated means set apart, separated to. This is the portion of the Spirit of the Almighty set apart for those who truly believe in Him and who invite Him to live in them. There's a betrothal portion of the Spirit that is given to somebody who first declares that he or she believes in the Almighty. And then there is an infilling which comes to somebody who invites the Almighty to dwell in them. Typically this happens with immersion, not baptism, not dipping or dunking. It happens with full immersion in a body of clean water. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can invite the Spirit of the Almighty to come and dwell into you right now. All you have to pray is, Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to fill me now with your Spirit. And then go forth in faith, believing that He's answered you. Go to the website, download the recommended worship songs there. There are a number about fill me with your Spirit. It's an ongoing process. You need to be praying it every day. You need to be worshiping every day, or at least every week, spending time singing songs like that, asking Him to fill you. This is not something trivial. It's not something that happens momentarily in church or in some assembly or in some assembly or in any other form of meeting place, in a shul in the Jewish faith, in a in the Islamic meeting places as well. All of those faiths can be filled with the Spirit, and you can pray that in your home. You can pray it in your bed at night. Father will respond to a sincere invitation to dwell in Him. It's really important to recognize that this is distinct from the universal of the Spirit of the Almighty, in whom we live and move and have our being. The Almighty indwells the entire universe. His Spirit is everywhere. He holds it all together. He controls it. He manages it. And if He were to withdraw from earth, which He will do if He loses the contest, then everything on the earth would die. It is His Spirit that keeps everything alive on earth. So we've seen that the two words, Lord and Christ, lead to confusion that Jesus is God. The incorrect translation of Yahweh as the Lord and reference to Yahshua as the Lord causes confusion. And we lose sight of the fact that they're two different entities. We're misled into thinking that since the Lord is used in both the Old and New Testaments, that Jesus is the Lord, Jesus is God. And so people then start worshipping Jesus when they should be worshipping God. Well, not worshipping God, worshipping Yah. And the result is that they break the second and the first commandment. The first commandment says, you shall have no other mighty ones, no other gods, beside Yah, the eternally self-existing. It says that Yahweh, your mighty one, is one mighty one. You shall have no other mighty ones before Him. So if you are worshipping Jesus, you are breaking that commandment. The second commandment says you shall have no graven images, no likenesses. If you start worshipping Jesus on the cross, if you start worshipping the Bible, you're breaking that commandment. We've also seen that the incorrect translation of Christ and the incorrect usage of Christ makes Yahshua synonymous with the Spirit of the Almighty, and that too causes confusion. So while we have Christ referring to the Anointed One in certain instances in the New Testament being Yeshua, and then we have Christ referring to the anointing of the Spirit of the Almighty that was on Yeshua, and where that refers to the Almighty. And because we have a number of different Greek words all translated as Christ, we have total confusion there, and we end up believing that Christ is God, and therefore Yeshua is God. And it's just not true. If you get a revelation of what I'm sharing with you, you will start to understand how confused and corrupt the common usage is. And that's easy to understand why it's like that. The forces of darkness, the satanic and demonic realm, are doing everything they possibly can to corrupt the knowledge of the Almighty, so that by the end of the millennium, there is not a single person who has a deep personal relationship with the Almighty and can call for Yeshua to return to earth and take kingship over the earth. So all of this leads us to a realization that Yahushua, the one you probably know as Jesus, is not the Almighty in the flesh. He is a distinct created being. He is a man. He would have had no authority on earth were it not for the fact that he was a human being. And I touched on this in the previous program too. I'll refer at the end of this program to an ebook that you can download off the website. There are a huge number of names in the Old Testament Bible which are derived and include Yah, the name of the Almighty. Once you have a revelation that the true name of the Almighty is Yah, then you will find Yah cropping up throughout the Bible. We've already looked at Yahushua. Yah is salvation. And we've seen that by understanding that Yah is salvation, we understand why the name of Yeshua is the name above all names. There's nothing more powerful, there's nothing more beautiful than the salvation of the Almighty. That's what it's all about, is to be saved by the Almighty. And if you then transpose that onto Jesus, you're making a huge mistake. So we find Yahuda, Y-A-H-U-W-D-A-H, typically translated Judah, the tribe of Judah and the territory of Judah. The word Yahuda means praise Yah. Yah being Yah, Uda being praise Yah. We then find Yahud being the territory of Yehuda, the place where Yehuda lived, translated Judea. We find the Yahudai being the descendants of Yahuda, being the Jews. And you see the Jew is a complete corruption of Yahudai. It's a completely meaningless name. And so we get all sorts of confusion about who the Jews are, and who is not a Jew and who is a Jew. And all sorts of evil things have been spoken about the Jews and done to the Jews and continue to be spoken about the Jews. Not to say that Jews are without error, not to say that Jews are perfect. They're corrupt like everybody else on this planet. We're all corrupt. We're all so far removed from the Almighty, we don't have an inkling of what it would be like to be really close to him. Another name, Yahuchanan. Yah has graced, normally translated John or Jonathan, the name of the man who immersed Yeshua and started his ministry. Yah has graced, and he brought grace to the ministry of Yahushua. Matitayo, Matthew, gift of Yah. And if you look at the book on the website, you will find literally dozens of other names. There are three key documents on the website relating to this talk today. The first is an article called The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, which is about a 16-page article. The second is Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, which is about a 70-page document which goes in depth into all the practices, processes, procedures, rituals, prayers that need to be prayed in order to come to a close relationship with the Almighty. If you were to down, and that article, both of those articles are available at my website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, www.endtimeissueministries.org, which is behind the home page. So if you hover your cursor behind the home button in the top left-hand corner of the website, you will find these two articles. Third article, relating to the name of the Almighty, which is what this talk today has been roughly based on, can be found in the top row of the menu. It says Creator's Name, Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. Click on that link and you will find a whole selection of articles. And if you scroll about two-thirds of the way down the web page, you will find a detailed book on the subject. Otherwise, you can email me for any of these articles. There are books of teachings and a mailing list which are available from me. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org. So the same URL, endtimeissueministries.org, one word, james@. And I will happily add you to the mailing list. I try and publish an article every few days. I've been busy with a series of sort of 1 to 2 page articles over the last few months, going into a whole diversity of topics, continuously publishing, continuously seeking Father to learn what he wants me to talk about. So in closing, I would like to thank you for listening. I would like to invite you to join the mailing list. I'm in the process of compiling a collection of my writings. There are 7 volumes, and it looks as though there will be about 13 books in total, each of between 500 and 600 pages, so it's a substantial document. It should be complete within the next couple of months. Volume 1 will go to print, hopefully, by the end of this month. This first volume is the most important writings, which includes those that I've just listed, plus a number of other articles, which hopefully you will find of interest and of value. That first volume has been prepared to stand alone. And if you have been in any way persuaded by this talk that it would be in your interest to draw closer to the Almighty, then please email me. Say again, james@endtimeissueministries.org. Email me and I will send you an electronic copy of the book by return. It's ready for you right now in electronic form, if you would like it. If you'd like a physical copy, let me know, and as funds permit me to print, I will make that available to you. I hope to connect with you again next week, when we will hopefully go in more depth into this topic of how to become a friend of the Creator. I hope in the weeks ahead to cover a variety of topics, which would include things like, who is Yeshua really? Yeshua is the most powerful created being in the universe. It's important to understand how he accomplished what he accomplished, and in fact what he did accomplish. He's sits at the right hand of the Almighty. And it's said repeatedly that he's waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. The vast majority of believers on the planet today are waiting for Yeshua, or waiting for Jesus, to come and sort the enemies out, not understanding that it's us, the human beings, who have to sort the enemies out and prepare a way for Yeshua to return. So if you've been sitting back praying to Jesus to come quickly, I would ask you to realize that he's not coming quickly. In fact, he may never come at all, because if we don't sort our lives out and we don't clean up the mess that there is on this planet, we will not see him at all. Thank you very much for listening. And I hope that you'll be here next week. Father.